All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What's up, sports mappers? Welcome to the fray on a Thursday on The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel from the Gal Media Studios. Welcoming you in if you are just joining us on 94.1. If you are a loyal suspect on ESPN 97.5, then you have been tuned in since 1 p.m. But if you're a mapper and you want to catch up on what you missed, ESPN975.com, click on the show tab, catch up on the first 2 hours of the show. And let me just tell you, every day that you miss any portion of the show, you're missing something. But today, more than other days, you have missed quite a bit.
Did you notice I used Fred's saying, you're a dumb?
Yeah.
He says that. He has told him.
When he doesn't call people dickweeds.
Yes, that is true. Yeah, you missed a good one today. Go back to Podcast Arena and catch up, dummy. So we've got a couple of good questions I want to save till later for the show. We'll do it maybe at 3:30-ish. But someone texted and said, number one show, the Blitz named the top five a few days, and I don't remember the usual suspects being named. Well, dumbass, if you would have listened.
Said station.
Yes.
I said station. Also, I'm sorry I called you a name. That was not nice. I got a little emotional. I guess that's carryover.
You're not really sorry, though.
I know I am. I shouldn't have. That was carryover from Nick getting emotional earlier. No, I tease. I kid. Yes, I said station. Not number one show.
We have had our moments.
We have not hit number one in this city before. We have been as high as three in the city in sports talk.
We were tied for two 1 month.
Yeah, we were tied for two.
Yeah, we were tied for two.
I sold us short.
Yeah, thanks.
Well,
dickweed.
It was probably my fault why we were tied for second and not number
undoubtedly.
One. Oh, thanks.
You're welcome.
All right, tonight, Chiefs and Chargers.
Good one. Looking forward to it. I wish both teams were at full strength, though.
Here's what sucks. I'll be driving to Plano, Texas. So I'm going to have to record the game, okay? I'm going to drive to Plano.
Tape it.
I'm going to do my set. Can I borrow your VCR?
Yep.
Your Betamax?
You sure can.
I'm going to drive to Plano, do my stupid set, and then drive back home and either watch the game when I get home and go to sleep or go to bed and get up early and watch the game before I come in because I feel like it's
tomorrow
a game we're going to have to talk
just
about.
An absolute treat.
I should just be in the best mood ever.
Oh, boy.
And then I get to leave as soon as the show's over and drive back to Plano again. That's how much I love you guys.
I'm gonna make sure the valet parks your car in the back corner.
Oh, gee, thanks. I really appreciate that.
You might be passed out on the floor.
Ain't no way you're going to be driving there and driving back tonight and watch the game.
No, that's the goal. That's the plan. I tell my wife, because she was like, normally, I said she wakes me up at 5:30, 5:45 every morning. And so she said, not tomorrow, though, right? Because you're good. I was like, no, I need to get up. I got to watch the game. I mean, you think about
it, though. Just catch the Cliff Notes on ESPN.com.
No, you think about it. I could fast forward past all the commercials and the huddles. And
it's true. It does. All that
crap.
I am amazed.
You can get through it pretty quickly.
Every time I tape a game and go back and watch it, if you just cut out the time between plays, the commercials, the halftimes, all that stuff, you can condense it literally to just about an hour.
And it sucks, though. I mean, you don't get the same feel of the game.
True.
Like, if there's some intensity or if it's, you know, you don't get the feel, but at least you get to watch everything.
So you don't miss, yeah.
So that's the plan. How do you see it going?
Injuries tonight are key.
Injuries are big.
I don't expect Melvin Gordon to play. You and I were talking about it during the break. They said when he sprained the ligament in his knee that it was a 2 to 4 week process. We are a little over 2 weeks in with a Thursday night game. It kind of screws them up a little bit too. I just don't think it's too risky to have him out there tonight and then risk him re-injuring it or it hasn't healed enough and then he's out significant time with the playoffs around the corner, and I know it's a big game, but you also factor in the fact that Kansas City's going to be down running backs too. Spencer Ware's got not only, you said a leg injury as well as a separated shoulder.
Yep.
So he's going to be out. Everybody's waiting to see what kind of Tyreek Hill we're going to get because he says he's going to play. He looked a little bit springy yesterday at practice. I saw video, but again, he was just kind of screwing around with guys on the sidelines. I'm not sure how intense his route running was. But there's injuries on both sides of the ball that are going to play a factor in this. And don't second guess the weather being a factor here, too. It's going to be in the 30s.
Is it raining or anything
like
that?
It's in Kansas City. I did not check the Doppler for precipitation.
Right. I don't know if this is right now, but ESPN has the weather listed at 44 degrees and sunny.
So it, when I'm the sun goes now, down, you're going to drop about 7 to 10 degrees.
Yeah. But
so we'll see if the weather plays a factor in a warm weather team like San Diego. I just think Kansas City at home and the way Mahomes is playing, and he still has Kelce, and he still has guys. You said Watkins is out for the Chiefs as well. But I think Kansas City wins this game.
Okay. You know, it's – I think I've got – I told you during our prep, I feel like this is one of those games. I feel like the Chargers win this game because everybody's banged up on both sides of the ball. We just discussed it, right? Like we talked about the fact that both running backs that we expected to wear and Gordon are both out. You're basically getting third-string running backs from both teams because Austin Eckler is out as well. So you're getting two third-string running backs. Both QBs are starting. Watkins might miss some time. Offensive lineman for the Chiefs is out. Is it Ingram? I believe is out or is questionable. So, like you said, both teams banged up. That's why I like the Chargers, man, because that Chargers defense is legitimately a top 10 defense in the NFL. They can defend against the run. They can defend the pass. They don't give up a lot of points. It's keeping them in games, even when, you know, Phillip Rivers is going out of his mind and playing the best he's ever played. But that doesn't mean that they're always putting up a ton of points. And that Chargers defense has been, we talked earlier about surprises and things that have surprised us and caught us off guard for the year. That Chargers defense has looked really good. They got Bosa back. He's playing well. So, I mean, they're giving up 20 points a game. And you compare that's seventh in the NFL. You compare that to almost the 28 that the Chiefs are giving up. That's a lot. And then you're missing weapons on both sides. I get that. So it may not be as high scoring game as we thought. But I'm going to take the Chargers in this one.
Don't forget they got the defensive rookie of the year pretty much too. And yeah. Derwin James, dude is a baller.
So I think from a betting perspective, give me the Chargers in the 3.5 points. I like both. I like them to win straight up, but because of that, I'll take the points as well. Okay. And listen, don't forget, you got Spencer Ware. He's going to be critical to the Chiefs. Like he's an important cog as well. And I'm really looking forward to that matchup with Hunter Henry going up against Derek Johnson. I think that's going to be a critical matchup as well. That Hunter Henry.
This sounds kind of familiar.
What? Are you saying I stole my takes?
I think you're stealing somebody else's take.
No. Spencer Ware is critical to this game, and Hunter Henry and Derek Johnson matching up is also critical.
Old thieving Asbury.
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
Doesn't it sound a little something like this?
I'm keeping my eyes on this matchup right here.
Spencer Ware's out.
I'm sorry?
Spencer Ware is out.
Oh, yes, I forgot. I'm sorry, Max.
Yeah.
Absolutely, he is out. But I'm thinking Tyreek Hill. I'm thinking Patrick Mahomes. I'm also looking at the San Diego Chargers on offense, and I'm thinking about Hunter Henry and the way that he's played this year and as effective as he's been. He's going up against Derek Johnson, and I got to keep my eyes on that because I'm looking at it from the standpoint. Listen, here's where I'm at with all of this. At the end of the day, I'm looking at Patrick.
The beauty. The beauty of this is if you miss this, so Stephen A. Smith on Shout Out or whatever the hell that he was on. What was it? First Take. Okay. First Take. Him and Teddy
Bruschi
and Max Kellerman. And first he tries to say that Spencer Ware was critical to the Chiefs. And then immediately Max Kellerman's like, no, Spencer Ware's out. So you heard that. But then when he starts going on about Hunter Henry, who hasn't played all year.
Out since training camp.
Derek Johnson not playing.
Derek Johnson's a free agent. He's not on anybody's roster.
And both Teddy Bruschi and Max Kellerman are looking around like, what?
Oh, their faces are priceless. And here's the other thing.
What are you talking about?
The only one you can forgive him on, he called them the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah,
when they're
did.
In LA.
Oh, I forgot
and
to do that.
And you can forgive
that. Damn, I forgot
that
to
one.
Do that. Yeah. You
but can, that's
I
can, it.
Yeah. I just wonder how many people were driving around. I bet if I checked the text line before they knew, they were like, oh, you dumbass. Hunter Henry's not even playing, idiot Barry, with your dumb takes.
So, yeah, so you got a guy that tweeted him and said, this is exactly what happens when you don't know football.
Ooh.
Hunter Henry hasn't played all year. Look at Teddy Bruschi's face. WTF, oh dear God, watch football, bro. To which Stephen A. responded, my brother, it's called a mistake because I was thinking of Virgil Green. but mentioned Hunter because I was multitasking. That's what happens when you're doing 1,000 things, but I don't blame you if you told me to stay off the weed. That was a brain lock moment.
Now, though I laugh, we've all... If you do radio or television, you've made mistakes like that. There's no way around it. We have all said the wrong names thinking of somebody else.
No, it was just the other day.
Or just giving out the wrong information.
We were talking about the final three games for the Titans and for the Colts, and you were breaking it down, and I was looking up something else to bring back into the conversation. I go, and don't forget, they play each other at the last game of the year, so one of them's eliminated, and you looked at me like, I just said that.
Brain fart.
And I was like, oh, well, okay.
It happens all the time. So I'm not, it's funny, but you know what? If I was just like watching and didn't do this as a job, I would probably be hating on him. So I'm not going to lie.
So is Will Cain sitting back and watching this and just absolutely enjoying it?
Oh, no doubt.
You know what, though? The thing with Will Cain is, as big of an a-hole as he is, and he tries, he does it intentionally. But the thing is, without Stephen A., he would not have the job he has and would not have the opportunities he's been given. So he's got to kind of toe that line a little bit. But yeah, because, you know, he got into it with him. Nick's reference to the fact that Stephen A. and Will Smith got into it like a week ago. Pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Really bad.
Tonight I'm looking for Chandler Parsons is going to play tight end for the Chiefs. It's going to be
He's pretty solid, Stephen A. Smith.
So good. The only thing better that he does is his Jim Adler. It's a really
and we
got
to get Stephen in from Culture Map to do his Barack Obama. I was very impressed. It was amazing.
I was thinking we should do Barack on a mobile or something because it's really good.
It really was. Yeah, it really was. Somebody asked real quick, where's my sets going to be at in Plano? Hyenas Plano. There's a comedy club called Hyenas. They have three locations: Fort Worth, Dallas. I'll be in Plano this weekend. Tell your crew,
you
come out,
carpool.
Man.
They can meet you after the show.
No, they're
drive
up there.
With you and come on back
they're
tonight.
They're up there. Thank you for asking, by the way, 214. I appreciate it. Right. That's very kind of you.
Travis, we see you. We'll get to you next. We've got plenty more to go. Final hour of the show. It is the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5, SportsMap 94.1.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. Knee-deep in the final hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio. Before the break, we were talking about Stephen A. Smith maybe not doing the prep work.
You think that some of that was because that some of their takes and information is handed to them? Like
I
the
do.
Three of us do our own research. We write our own takes. We do all of that. Those guys, they're so busy and they do have a lot going on. And he's doing radio and TV and all that. And it's hard to do all that, watch every game. And so I imagine that he's got a plethora of producers that hand that stuff to
that's
him.
That's the case because they got that guy Hembo. And Hembo is so good at giving all of the talent, both the anchors and the analysts, statistics and stuff, that if you've noticed it, especially on the shows you watch in the morning, Barry, they have an animated Hembo face with a little bubble. And it'll pop up in the corner of the screen, and it says, Hembo says, the Chiefs have won this many games over the Chargers, blah, blah, blah. And some guys on the show will be like, Hembo texted me last night. This was a crazy stat. So, yeah, their research department at ESPN is ridiculous.
I was just going to say, researchers probably print out a whole bunch of stats, information, and then they're supposed to look at that research and develop their own opinion. I don't know if it's always the way, you know, they do it, but... I was told Stephen A. and Skip were like incredibly prepared. So I don't know. Maybe he isn't. He obviously didn't know that Spencer Ware.
Stephen A. knows basketball like the back of his hand. So he doesn't really have to do a lot of prep on that. And I don't know. You guys know better than me about boxing and stuff with him and Teddy Atlas and all the stuff that he gets into, I guess. Because Kellerman's the boxing expert.
He's all right.
He doesn't know a lot about boxing.
I think it's just like he's trying to build his brand by being able to speak. Because he has to speak about all the sports.
Yes.
It's more about the name. More than anything else.
If you notice, a lot of times when he has like Damian Woody on or Ryan Clark, he wants to get into like personal back and forth to kind of so that it takes a little bit away from having to delve down
it's
too
easier.
Deeply.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't
it's a
have
a rabbit to... hole.
Yep.
If
I
you
agree.
Know what I mean. Okay. Well, Travis just hung up. We were just going to go to him.
He gone.
Oh, man.
You want to talk Stephen A., but he's gone.
Maybe we stole his point.
Yeah, that could have been.
Speaking of research, by the way.
Well, okay.
Your boy, your guys' boy, Dana White, and I'm not, you know, I'm not the biggest MMA guy in the world, but Dana White was on with First Take this morning.
He was not happy.
And whether he had producers and researchers or not, he on the desk had, whether it looked handwritten, but he had notes, data, and backup, and
talking
he was
points.
Ready to go.
The drama between him and Oscar De La Hoya is getting really good. And I don't know if some folks know this. If you keep up with MMA, you might know, but Oscar De La Hoya was the promoter behind the Chuck Liddell, Tito Ortiz fight. Neither one of them should be fighting anymore, but it was a way for him to kind of dip the toe in the water, gauge interest, and figure out how it all goes. Chuck Liddell had no business fighting. He looked horrible. Got knocked out in the first round by Tito Ortiz. Dana White comes out and says, you shouldn't have let him in there. That was reckless. And then Oscar De La Hoya fires back. Dana White says something about him being on coke and calls him an idiot. And then Oscar De La Hoya goes on a show and basically says, look, fighters are coming to me and saying we're not being taken care of in the UFC. They're making billions of dollars. It's sold for $4 billion. I'm getting $50,000 on a pay-per-view that had millions of buys. Like, I'm not getting my money. We need someone to take care of the fighters. And Oscar De La Hoya is saying, I want to take care of the fighters. Well, obviously that didn't sit well with Dana White. So he goes on ESPN with his notes and says this about Oscar De La Hoya.
The guy's a liar. Oscar De La Hoya is a liar. He has no facts. We can listen, if Oscar wants to, we can get somebody from the pay-per-view industry or however he wants to do it. We can sit down with numbers. You know, the reality is this guy doesn't know anything about his business. He just did an interview with a kid at TSN in Canada the other day. He didn't know what anybody was paid. He showed up to his own event at the press conference and didn't know any of the fighters' names. And what's even crazier is he didn't even write them down. Put them on a piece of paper, you idiot. Right? He didn't even write it down on a piece of paper. He says, oh, I don't know any of these guys back here, but yeah, I'm sure the fights are going to be great and whatever. And the guy is an absolute liar. And listen, we can sit down and we can do this on TV. We can go head to head. We can also take drug tests if he wants to do that, too. I'm ready to go. Let's go, Oscar. You idiot. Let's do it, idiot. Come on. Any show you want to, and I want to hear you stumble and bumble and mumble through, you know, trying to... He doesn't run the business. He knows nothing about the business. He knows nothing about the sport. And he's not very bright. So let's do it. Any day of the week, let's do it. And let's do drug tests, too. I want to do that, too.
My takeaway from this is, one, that Dana White thinks Oscar De La Hoya is an idiot. I don't know if he mentioned that.
I think he's got that pretty well summed up. Yep.
My takeaway is that he thinks Oscar De La Hoya is on the cocaines.
Yeah, there's been rumors about that for sure.
He keeps throwing it out there. Every time they go at it, he has to mention that De La Hoya has a drug problem. Now, he probably has some inside information. I don't know. De La Hoya did respond and say, hey, look, that was 15 years ago. I made some mistakes. I'm trying to be a good citizen and put on good fights. I've been clean, or I'm clean. He didn't necessarily come out and say, I don't do drugs anymore. And just saying I'm trying to be clean, kind of skirted around a little bit.
Right.
But Dana, and again, we didn't have the time to give the whole entire interview audio from Dana, but what Dana did say, too, was when he got to that point of it, but he also gave facts. And he said, hey, look, De La Hoya's talking about how Chuck Liddell shouldn't have been out there and everything like that. He goes, I paid Chuck Liddell $400,000 a year to not fight because I knew how much he wanted to fight, but I didn't want him to risk his life, so he shouldn't have been out there. He pointed that out. And then he said, of all the undercards of the last, the first that De La Hoya put on, of all the undercards, of all the other fights, the purse for all those fighters combined was $90,000. He went on to say, the last time I did this and what we've given to the undercards, $1.1 million. So he said, go ahead and do the math and tell me I'm not taking care of the fighters.
Well, that's the thing, is they've got more money to throw around.
That's probably true. And here's the deal. Even if you have the money to throw something around, like if you have more money to pay people, it doesn't mean it makes sense for you to pay them more money, because at some point the revenue has to cover some of that pay. So, but if you want a perfect recipe for Dana White to hate you, Tito Ortiz is part of,
of
Golden
Boy.
He already hates Tito Ortiz.
Yep.
Then Tito Ortiz knocks out what used to be, or I don't know if it still is, his best friend in Chuck Liddell. You think Dana White's going to like you? And then you have Tito going on and saying, the UFC is not taking care of fighters, and they're not paying fighters. Those three things is a perfect recipe for Dana White to absolutely hate you. So he's never going to let this go, ever.
No, and that's ever. The thing about Dana is he will go out, and he's not afraid to make a spectacle out of an argument between you two, the two of you. He's going to say me. He's not going to pull any punches, no pun intended. He's going to, if he knows something about you, he's using it, yeah. Obviously.
The whole idea, though, of them accusing the UFC of not paying fighters right, I'm going to take a guess and say that came from Tito Ortiz. He is in Oscar De La Hoya's ear saying probably. UFC does not take care of their fighters.
You know who else it probably came from? A lot of fighters that never really – that they were undercards, or they were like, you know, three or four fight contracts that maybe they were paid 10 and 10, 5 and 5, 8 and 8, whatever it is when they got started. They didn't win. They got cut. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, how can I bitter. Make a living on 10 and 10 and I'm well, one, you got to win, and two, you got to work your way up. You think Derek Lewis was getting the money he's getting now when he first started? No, he was getting 8-8 from the UFC when he first started. That's just the fight game.
And
it's like comics bitching about not making money or radio hosts. We know what we're getting into.
And then
we know.
It, because the interview with Dana was on First Take. And so and he came in here and said, Dana, it seems like there's something deeply rooted in this. This isn't just because of what recently happened. And Dana went on to say, when they did the McGregor fight with Mayweather, that De La Hoya was killing Dana all over the place and selling him out. And so Dana kind of called him out saying, this is BS, you shouldn't be doing this. And he said that after that, De La Hoya texted him and said, we should get together, we should work on some things, we should do some things. And Dana said, no, screw that, you're done.
Yeah, you talk
that
crap about me.
Yeah, that was it.
The thing I worry about with Dana sometimes is he gets passionate, and while I believe a lot of his argument is rooted in facts, because you can't tell me that the fighters aren't making money with the UFC. If that were the case, no one would want to be there.
Like, yeah. You can't argue that.
But I believe Dana a lot of the times, but I feel like sometimes he will embellish or make things up just to win the argument.
For sure.
So you got to be careful about what he says. But in this case, I tend to side with Dana.
And Dana finished the interview by saying, Oscar De La Hoya's cell phone number is 713. Oh, never mind. That was something that's different. Okay. All right, we got a half hour to go on the big show. Don't go anywhere. We are going to continue to roll on. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5, SportsMap 94.1.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
At least you're not fired up. Hey, final half hour of the show. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, SportsMap 94.1. We're going to take you till 4 o'clock. Then the Blitz is going to take you till 7. Friend is in Canada. Oh, don't you know, you betcha. All week. So that means Jerome Solomon has been filling in for Fred.
Nice.
So, Fred.
Very good.
John, did you hear Jong's story? The Jong story on the way home?
I did not.
Jerome went to the restroom.
Okay.
Either during the show or before the show. And said that he and AJ talked about how disgusting our bathroom is, and we've highlighted that in the past, right? But then alluded to a guy that was washing his shoe full of poop in the sink.
What?
Oh, in our bathroom. Do you know who that person was? Jung Lee.
What?
Because he stepped into it by accident?
Jung got a puppy, which I don't know if you guys knew about. I didn't. Jung got a puppy, and it poops, and he went home and took it out. And then he got in the car, and then he realized something stunk, and then he realized it was his shoe, so he went into our bathroom and started washing his shoe full of poop in the sink.
Well, he had to wash it somewhere.
Now, where does this put disgusting. Barry on the sanitary scale? Because Barry has to be clean. We've already highlighted washing your hands after every occurrence in the bathroom, but if you're washing in your hands in the sink with poop, where poop was.
I don't condone that at all, but... Those sinks, I assume that they get cleaned a couple times a day. Like the guy that comes
by, countertops, I can tell you that.
The guy that comes by, he cleans
multiple times a day for sure, and overnight.
Yeah, he does a great job of that. But there's like 8 years of soap scum on the top.
Oh boy, yeah. So, I'm okay with that because where else are you going to do it if you noticed it at work? What are you going to do? I don't necessarily have a problem with that.
The thing that's disgusting to me is because I've witnessed quite a few people
he's
who.
He's my boss.
I was going to say, why don't you get to the real reason?
I've witnessed quite a few people brush their teeth in the bathroom.
Okay.
Yep. I think the commander chief does.
Yeah. If that smell is still in the sink,
that sucks.
When you're bending over.
I would be so mad. Ew. I had one time somebody tell me that they thought it was gross that I would brush my teeth at work.
Why?
I don't know. I told them I think it's gross you don't. Just so they would shut up. Because it's like, what? I'm being, like, that's what a sink is for. What am I supposed to do?
I had a guy that I indirectly, directly worked with. And every time he came over to the building, I would take him through by the equipment manager's office just so I could give him gum. His breath could knock someone over.
Really?
Yeah.
He'd be like, you want some gum? No, I'm good.
I was like, at some point he's going to figure out and go, why every time do I come over here, do you make sure you get to the gum tray and offer me gum? I'd be like, I don't know. Just trying to be friendly. Trying to save my nasal passages. So
somebody texted and said, hey, babe, where you be at this weekend for your show?
Hey, babe. Babe.
Well, Sugar Puss, I am going to be at Hyenas in Plano. That's where I'll be.
Sugar Puss.
Yeah. Babe, I didn't know we were on on those terms.
It definitely says that.
It says, hey, babe. So, hey, glad I could do it. Okay, here's the question that I wanted to get to for you guys. Mm-hmm. How would you deal, this is from the texters. Mm-hmm. How would you deal with a family member when they're graduating college and trying to belittle you for not going? Now, Joel, you went to college.
I did.
Did you graduate?
I did.
Okay. I went to community college. So I have my associate's degree from Lone Star, the Fighting Book Nerds. I don't know what we are. I forget every time. Nick, did you go to college?
University of Houston.
So no.
Ouch. Shout out to the Cougs, by the way. Big win.
University
last night.
Of Houston or Lone Star,
Graduated?
I absolutely did.
There you go.
So I'm the only one on the show that hasn't graduated college.
That's where I was going. That
Thank you, sir.
A lot.
Yep. Job well done, Joel.
So You're I'm welcome. The only one on this show qualified to answer this question then.
Well, the floor is yours then,
basically,
sir.
Basically, what just happened is you just belittled me for not going to college.
I did nothing of the sort. I pointed out the facts.
What did you call where he went? Rugby?
Wisconsin rugby.
Yeah.
You say, how would you deal with it?
Look, dude, I wouldn't look at it. I would just ignore it. It's your family member. Family members don't necessarily say the nicest things to each other, all right? Just do better in life. You don't necessarily have to get a degree.
But that's the thing. We don't know how good they're doing in life. If they're kicking ass in life and their job and everything like that, throw that in their
face. There's a bunch of undergrads that are broke.
I mean,
I'm one of them.
There's plenty of industries where you don't need a college degree.
Nope.
And there are plenty of people with college degrees that aren't even working in the field they got their degrees in. And
good point.
I was in IT for a very long time, and I did very well for myself in IT with no college education because it didn't require it. If you knew what you were doing in whatever field you were working in IT, you know, I could go get an A+ certification. I could get my Microsoft certifications. I could do all those things. I didn't need a college education. And you know what? No one ever asked me, where did I graduate from? It was on the application.
Uh-huh.
But of course I would just put I didn't. And I didn't get my Lone Star Associates until like 10 years ago. But no one would, because I didn't need that for what. So unless you're like a psychiatrist or a doctor or something like that, don't let them, if you're comfortable with what you do and you're happy with it, man, screw them.
Another thing is, if you happen to, even if you're not a student, but you happen to intern or volunteer, when you work in a particular environment, sometimes they mold you to what they want to do with you in that company. So it's not necessarily a requirement to show your diploma or the fact that you, like I came, I proved myself by being an intern here 7 years ago. I had a degree, but they didn't ask for it. So as long as you can become an asset somewhere. Yeah, I was just worried about the drug test. That's what I was worried about.
Right. Somebody said, first off, F you for that U of H comment, LOL. And for Lone Star, it was a bunch of Cougs.
Again, big win last night against LSU. Absolutely. They're undefeated in basketball.
Top 25 now.
Yeah, they were 24th going in. Undefeated. And now with this win, should probably continue to climb.
Put some respect on the Cougs,
good job,
Barry.
Cougs and Kelvin Sampson.
I mean, they're no Lone Star Ducks. Well, they said it was the Ducks. Now it's the Falcons. They're no Lone Star Falcons, but whatevs.
When y'all saying my name, put some respect on it.
My mom graduated from U of H. I ain't hating on U of H. Not at all.
I just did.
Not at all. Fortunately, nobody in my family has been like that. Like, belittle me for not going to college?
I'm the only one to have graduated college in my family.
Oh, so you belittle everybody.
No. So, literally, that there's a lot of... Nick said it right. Family members don't have a filter. They just are going to say whatever the hell they feel, and it's up to you and how you react, and sometimes they want to get the reaction. So, you just have to deal with it accordingly.
And listen, when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, you can always resort to violence. Just slap one of them. Just haul off and slap one of them. And they're family. You can get away with that with family.
Or shoot their number over to me and I will.
Oh,
409.
Nah, I'm just playing. I'm playing.
Yeah, no, I thought
you were going to say shoot them. You know how I was like, what? Nicholas.
You know how I was giving credit to a certain someone because we hadn't heard from him in a while? Well, uh-huh. Boy, I'm telling you what, I'm close right now. I am close. And today would be the day because of the way Nick went off. But, you know,
I'm honoring any. If you guys have a request for a number you want Siri to recite over there, I will absolutely play it.
Yeah, we need to talk in the break.
Maybe do it tomorrow. Let him have his moment, and then we'll do yours tomorrow.
Well, Nick already had his moment.
Well,
yeah, I'm not trying to steal anybody's thunder. I'm just saying I've had enough of one person, and
on the text line. Is it going directly to the deleted item?
Because they've already been blocked, so they don't even know. They don't even know that they haven't been seen or heard from. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Somebody said a degree in poli sci, planned on going to law school, now working in tech, making fantastic money. That's how it works. It's the degree nowadays, man. If I had a chance to go back, there's two things I would do. I would serve in the military. I regret not doing that. And I would go to college. But do I regret where I'm at in my life and the things I've done?
Let me tell you this.
Do what makes you happy, man. If you're happy with the direction you went, that's all that matters.
You went the right direction. You know why? Because as much as everybody says and you get hammered over the back of the head when you're growing up, hey, it's what you know, not who you know.
Yeah.
The minute you get out of school, you find out in a real quick hurry who you know is as important or more important than what you know and what you've learned in school. There's no doubt about
it. Somebody said, my brother's a PhD. I didn't graduate college. I make $20,000 more than he does.
Boom.
It just depends. It literally just depends on what you do.
Yep. No question about it. All right, we got one segment to go on the Big Show. Then we're going to turn it over to the Blitz. Don't go anywhere. It's more of the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final segments of another spirited and fun show on the usual suspects. We appreciate you guys always taking us along for the ride. Had a lot on our plate today.
Hey, yes, do you guys mind if I promote a food drive real quick?
No, go ahead.
So this Saturday, over on my side of town, at a bar I frequent a lot, Jerry, the owner over there, takes
your
really
side
good,
or our side?
Our side in Sugarland.
Yes.
Sugarland. Joel and I, yeah, I would say. My bad, because Barry lives on the other side of town.
In his own zip code. Yeah.
Right. So it's a food drive. It's a really good cause. A Houston food bank. They're asking you to bring canned food. The examples are canned meat stews, canned ravioli, canned veggies, peanut butter. Save the joke, suspects. I already know. All right.
It's going to be well played.
It's this Saturday, December 15th from 2 to 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. There's a poker tournament. There's $1 Jello shots. There'll be a DJ, free gumbo with any 5-can donation. And it's on 4524 Highway 6 in Sugarland, Texas, 77478, right next to the Altitude Trampoline Park. I think it's a good cause. It's only 4 hours. I think you should go. I'm probably going to be there for the last 2 hours only because I'm producing. But I will be there. I will be having drinks. I will be joining Jerry. It's a fun time. It's a good spot. Gridiron Bar and Grill. It's a really cool food drive.
You're going to be fat and happy. You're going to get lots of cans of stew and all $1 Jello shots.
See, the dangers of me going to that bar is that it's way too convenient. It's literally a block away. So
you're going to be taking people to the house afterwards for the after party?
Nope.
After the party, it's the after party. Oh, you'd be like Jermaine Dupri. Travis Porter on Twitter real quick asked, because of our conversation about Dana White, fighters pay and all that. Mm-hmm. He said, Barry, what's 8-8 or 10-10 mean? That's fighter pay. So if you're getting 10-10, that means you're getting 10,000 show money and 10,000 as your win money. So when a fighter gets paid normally, now, once you become Derek Lewis, then you're just getting a flat fee. You're just getting, you know, 200K, 400K, whatever it may be. But coming up, fighters will get 8-8, 10-10. And that means you get $10,000 to fight. If you lose, that's all you get is the 10. But if you win, you get the other 10. So it's your win money or your win bonus. So 8-8 would mean a fighter could make either 8 or 16 grand, depending on right. how the fight goes.
And we also can't forget about the fact that the Reebok will cut you a check based on
they
likeness,
get sponsored,
right?
Now, that's UFC. Don't they also that's do UFC.
Only.
That's UFC only. Correct. If they're fighting in Legacy or Bellator or other places, they have their own sponsors because there's not a corporate sponsor. But they'll split some money with
right. And the reason why I bring that up is because in other MMA promotions outside the UFC, like you mentioned, the fighter has to kind of hustle his own sponsors. And when it's a smaller fighter, and I asked Mike the Truth Jackson, who's a good friend of yours and mine, who fought in the UFC, and he says when you're a smaller guy and you're not necessarily known as much, the fact that you have a Reebok, like a brand like Reebok pushing you, it kind of helps because yes. he doesn't have to go around and hustle sponsors.
That's right.
So there's a million ways to
look
at it.
It's hard. I mean, look, back when I owned the Cage Door, part of the problem with fighters is they're not business people. They're fighters. And so I would try to pitch them like, look, I have this website. We get 30,000 views a month. So when I'd go to a business and say, if you put your logo on my website, you know, you can get 30,000 views. Now it's $200. And they'd be like, nah, I'm going to pay this fighter $1,000 to sponsor him. And so that was for them. That was worth it. And I would try to explain to them. I'm like, well, look, if he, you're talking about maybe 7 minutes of exposure to about, you know, 3,000 people yeah. in the arena, depending on the size of the arena, because they walk out in your shirt, they take it off. If they win, they might remember to put it back on. If they lost, they're definitely not putting it back on. And you're paying, you know, five times as much. But for the fighters, sometimes they'll make more money in sponsorships than they will on their pay from the fight card itself. It just depends on the sponsor and the fighters and how much they hustle and who they know.
Didn't you guys say, and I've read this before, and some of the fighters, I love their reactions in the post-fight cover. There's a fight of the night. There's bonuses, right?
So, like, Legacy and those guys used to not do that. Then they hooked up with some company that had deep pockets, and they started doing fight of the night bonuses. But the bigger organizations will absolutely have a bonus. You'll have a fight of the night bonus. It used to be fight of the night, knockout of the night, submission of the night. They changed it up now. It's fight of the night, performance of the night. And there's a couple of them. And yeah. So, but yeah, you'll get an extra bonus for that. And then don't forget too that you have outside stuff that you do as well. You can have outside sponsors and folks like, you know, I mean, if you look at Derek Lewis, his Instagram following, he probably monetizes that and makes a killing off of it just by himself.
Absolutely.
So they're getting other money, but from the organization itself, fight pay, they're getting their show money and their win money if they win. So it's a good deal for Dana White and for promoters because they can say, okay, you got two fighters, right? We're going to give you both 10-10. So you're saying it could cost me, you know, this bout, I got 40K on the line? You really don't, because only one of them is going to get the win bonus. So you're really only risking 30K, but both fighters have the opportunity to make 20. So it works to their advantage a little bit. But, yeah, the UFC is by far and away the best when it comes to pay. But
I would agree with that.
That's what 10-10 means, by the way. Cool. I digress. Yeah.
There you go. Speaking of money, I don't know if you guys saw this or not. It was at least I had it on the news this morning. A Houston couple stumbled on a smash-and-grab ATM attempted robbery.
Oh, no.
In which money was blowing in the wind. $250,000 was blowing around by this bank machine because they saw a truck drive off, dragging a chain. They evidently struck out in trying to take the ATM with them. The couple saw it, didn't know what was going on. The husband had just been talking to the wife about the fact that they could really use some extra cash. They see this happen. They talk
Don't
it over briefly.
It. Don't say it.
Yep. They called the police.
Oh.
Did not keep a cent.
Oh.
Waited for them to arrive. Then had to endure the cops saying, put the money down, and yelling at him may be involved in it. And to make matters even worse,
he had a warrant.
The bank never said thank you.
Oh, no.
Or reached out to them at all.
Who's the bank?
It didn't say in the article.
Oh, I would totally call that bank out. totally call that bank account. You have a quarter of $1 million floating around in the air, and this couple does the responsible and right thing.
Oh, it's a Chase Bank. Because the video, clearly, tell me, that's that logo right there,
Chase
right?
Bank.
It's a Chase Bank.
Isn't that the one bank that didn't have to go to the reserve when everybody was struggling
dicks.
In the banking world? Like, they're like one of the strongest, if not the strongest,
Chase,
bank in the country.
Man, shame on you. You could have gave those folks
like,
something.
We had the story a week or
shame
two ago when the ATM was accidentally kicking out hundreds instead of tens.
Right.
And the bank, I believe it was Bank of America, but the bank
they
said,
were just like, whatever.
You guys keep it. It was our mistake. It's cool. And I understand.
And here's Chase with a quarter mil literally floating around.
You got 250 grand back that you would have lost if this robbery went through, and whether you got it insured or whatever like that. This couple helps your ass out, and you not only don't say thank you, you don't go flip them a bone and go, you know what? Here's $1,000 for each of you for being great
something.
And honest. Just something that says thank you.
I don't
ridiculous.
Get that. I would actually give him a, I mean, come on, give him a little something.
I'm with you, 100%.
Like, I don't know, what's a fair number? Depending on how much they saved,
Take a percentage of the 250 grand they saved. So give them 2,500 bucks.
Exactly.
That's fair.
Exactly.
I'm down with that.
As a couple, not individually.
Right, just give them 2,500 bucks as a couple with the holidays here and the fact that they were already talking they need money, that they'd be so appreciative.
You're going to make it back in ATM fees from them anyways in like 3 weeks.
Or if you're Wells Fargo, was it Wells Fargo that just decided to accidentally charge all of their people fees that they discovered if they would have discovered you were paying and you didn't know?
Unbelievable.
They should call TMZ and see if TMZ could access that body cam and have them publish it and make a massive story about it.
Right.
And the husband's quote was, I was telling my wife, I don't want to rob someone else's robbery. Let's just let the cops get here. Maybe something good will happen down the road. It better be a long road because evidently the bank ain't doing it. That is just dirty.
That is dirty.
No, so... That's not, hate to end it on that note, but yeah, way to go as a couple for doing the right and the honest thing, but sorry, it sucks that it didn't work out for you.
Lenny, real quick on Twitter asked, what do they do if it's a draw? If I'm not mistaken, you only get your show money. If there's a draw, you don't get your win money.
Yeah.
But it also depends on the organization. There may be a clause where you might get half, but most, from what I've seen, I think most of them are, well, you should have won. You didn't win. The money is to win, not lose, not draw. Not, you know,
in most cases
DQ'd.
It depends on the details of the fighter's contract, I would imagine.
But I think in the majority of contracts and fighters and organizations, you're not getting your win money for a draw.
There you go. All right, my friend, you got to hit the road. You've got a heck of a drive there and back tonight. So hopefully drive safe. Everything goes well. We'll see you tomorrow. We're at Prime Social tomorrow. So if you are in the Galleria area and looking for something to do, poker tournaments, great fun, unbelievable atmosphere, clean, good food, good beverage. We'll be there till 4. Blitz will be there till 7. Make an afternoon of it. Start your weekend the right way. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. You guys have yourself a great evening, everybody. And we'll talk to you all tomorrow.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.